Luke chapter number 9, once again, Luke chapter number 9. That is in the New Testament, by the way, in case you need that information. Amen. Well, none of you didn't need that information. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 9. We'll begin reading in verse 57. And we'll read these verses we read this morning down through verse number 62. And we're interested in a two-word statement made in verse 59 and also verse number 61, where the Word of God says, "Me first." Two individuals talking on the subject of following Jesus said, "Let me first," or "suffer me first." And I just using those two words as our thought for the message today, "me first." Verse 57, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61, And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I covet your prayers once again this evening. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we know, Lord, this is your house. We know this is your word, and we are your people. And dear Father, we're here today for all about you. It's all about you, Lord. And we trust, God, that you'll speak to us and help us, Lord, to be brought more into your likeness. Father, I pray now for that special anointing, that special touch, and pray, Lord God, that you will help us to see what we need to see, say what needs to be said. Nothing more, nothing less, we pray. Get personal with us. Help us, Lord, to deal with this in each of our lives. For it certainly is the very nature of the flesh, me first. So help us, Lord, we pray now to preach like we'll wish we had one day when we give an account. And I recognize, Lord, I need your touch and I need your power, your enablement. And so, Lord, we're asking you to do that. Faithful is he who calls us, who also, Lord, will do it. In our verse here at the church, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Me first, verse number 59 and also verse number 61, me first. And we pointed out some things about that this morning, that is the underlying problem of our nation, of the international community. It's also it's the problem in our churches. It's the problem in our homes. It's the problem with our youth. It's just the basic underlying foundational problem. And that is me first. If sin does anything to you, it'll make you selfish. Amen. Amen. Sin never makes you considerate. Sin never makes you sympathetic. Sin will make you selfish. Sin loves self. And I thought I'd just reverse that tonight. Self loves sin. Amen. That's why to get along so good. Amen. That's why we need to guard self, because it is an enemy. And one of the things that really threatens our spiritual life is self. If all of us in here, probably if we could give testimony tonight and have the time or write a commentary of our life, we'd all have to say that we have been defeated spiritually because of self more than anything or anybody else. I know I could say that tonight myself. But me first is what we're dealing with. And of course, we know there's examples, as I mentioned, throughout the Old Testament. There's examples in the New Testament. Some I gave this morning. One I did not give this morning is found in 3 John in verse number 9. And a man by the name of Diotrephes. How many has ever heard of the man by the name of Diotrephes? You know what was said about him? He loved to have the preeminence. He spoke out against John, the man of God, and so forth, but he wanted to have the preeminence. How do you translate that? Me first. Me first is what that is. And God did not deal with Diotrephes on a very small level. He loveth to have the preeminence among them, is what the Bible says. Amen? But anyway, we've talked about the word first as used in Luke 9. The word first means first in time, first in place, first in order, first in importance, first in rank, first in influence, first in honor. Amen. Chief. Amen. That's amen. A lot of people likes that. And of course the old flesh likes it. Amen. In all of us. Anyway, not to labor there any longer, but the first thing we shared this morning, I'm not going to go back and re-deal with it. Most of you were here this morning. I've dealt with the source of the me first. Where does it all originate? Where does it all come from? And you remember, we traveled back through the Bible, through the Old Testament, come to Genesis, and we couldn't stop there. We had to go beyond Genesis 1:1 into eternity past, even into the courts of heaven, in the presence of God. And there we find the origin of the me first mentality and the me first heart. And it was found in the very heart of Lucifer when he exalted himself above the throne of God and desired to take over what was being controlled. Me first. Amen. Not God first, but me first. So we talked about that this morning at great length. And then number two, we talked about the succession of me first. How that me first will spread. It's contagious. Amen. You if you're a selfish individual, it can be passed on. It can spread. And we noted some things about that, how that Satan's me first heart spread into the majority or a big part of the angels of heaven. We talked about that this morning. And then how that Satan in the garden transferred that me first heart even to Eve. That's why she partook of that fruit, even though she knew it was going to be a disobedience against God. And God's Word, she was being controlled not by the priority and the preeminence of God's commandment and God's Word and who God is and her gratitude to God, but she was being controlled at that point by her wants and by her desire for elevation when Satan told her, if you eat of it, you'll be as gods. You'll be promoted. You'll be elevated. You'll be somebody. And boy, that me first gripped her heart. And next thing you know, she had disobeyed God. And really, the truth behind all disobedience to God's Word is a me first heart. Amen. Amen. Disobeying God because you want something. Amen. Let me just say this. And I know this to be true, and you do, and Eve found it out for all of us. If you have to disobey to get something, you will live to regret having it. You will wish you didn't have it if you have to disobey to get it. If you have to cross biblical principles to get it, Brother Aaron, guess what? One day you'll think, man, I need that, I want that. But after you got it, you'll wish you didn't have it. It's better to want something and not have it as to have something and not want it. Y'all get that? That's good, isn't it? But anyway, we talked about how that was transferred to man or to Eve and to her husband in the garden. And then the third succession was it was passed from the parents to the children. And we saw how it showed up with Cain and Abel. That's why Cain killed Abel, was that me first. Amen. I want the recognition. I want acceptance. You know, jealousy. What's behind jealousy? Me first. Amen. It's what's behind envy. Me first. That's what's behind wrath and anger. Me first. Isn't that right? Amen? Guess what? I was thinking about this today. You know, when you go through something or a valley comes, a problem comes, an issue comes in your life, and all of a sudden you find yourself falling apart? Are you listening? You find yourself falling apart and pitching a hissy and possibly saying words that you know a Christian ought not to say and stuff like that. You know what God did? God allowed that storm to reveal your me first heart. Amen. If the storm comes in a life of a person that's a God, that has a God first heart, they don't fall apart. They say, well, God, evidently you've got a purpose for this. Praise God, evidently there's something in line about this, and I accept it. I don't know, I may not know the reason, but I volunteer. Use me, God, for your glory. Amen. Amen. What'd Paul do when the storm in Acts 27 came? He didn't pitch a fit and say, well, if this is what I get for serving God, I'm jumping overboard. Or I'm going to go slap somebody. Amen. Or I'm going to cuss somebody out. No. You know what he did? Bible said after long abstinence, he went and found a little private secret place and got to pray and praise God about his situation. And God said, I'm going to give to you all of the souls that's on board this ship. What was it, 276 or something? He steps back out. The wind's still blowing. The dark cloud's still there. The storm's still raging. He says to all on board, be of good cheer. For I believe God. It shall be as it was told me this night. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know why he didn't fall apart? He had a God-pleasing, a God-first heart. He said in Philippians 1, whether it be by life or death, it don't matter as long as God is magnified in my body. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You can't defeat a person like that. Amen. You can't defeat a person like that. Amen. I tell you what they'll do. They'll just accept what comes and step up. They'll just accept what comes and step up. You heard about the mule, I'm sure, that fell in the well, that got in the well, and they was going to bury it in the well. And you heard about that. Illustrates a point. All them people that started taking shovelfuls of dirt, throwing them in on that mule, thinking, well, we're going to cover him up. We're going to bury him. We're going to defeat him and throw that dirt in on him. He'd just shake it off and step up. Hey, this is a source. I didn't think about this. This is for somebody. Hey, man, you need to shake it off and step up. They just kept throwing dirt in on him. He just kept shaking it off and stepping up. Dirt came in, shake it off, and step up. And guess what? Eventually that step up led him to be able to step out. Because all the dirt just built him a platform, my friend, to step out. He could have stepped down there and said, why are they doing that to me? I never done anything to them. Why are they treating me this way? Why are they talking about me this way? Oh, he could have done that. And here they are throwing dirt on me. And here they are trying to cover me up. But instead, he was taking a negative situation and responding in a positive way of shaking it off and stepping up. And he eventually stepped out.
Amen.
Amen. You can't defeat a person that's got a God first heart. Amen. Praise God. I mean, listen, a God first heart, you can throw them in a fiery furnace, and you know what they'll do? They'll look around for the fourth man and say, there he is. Let's have a good time of fellowship. That's what they did in the book of Daniel. Praise God. Amen. You take a God first heart and throw it in a lion's den, and you know what he'll do? He'll take the lions and make a pillow out of them. Amen. And sing during the night, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You can't defeat a God first heart. But if it's a me first heart, everything that comes knocks us off of our feet. Amen. Well, I've jumped way ahead there a little bit, but that's all right. I caught some of you while you're still awake. Amen. I don't even know where we got. Amen. The succession, that's it, Cain and Abel, and then there's another group there, Jacob and Esau, and I thought about, and then of course Isaac and Ishmael. There's three different examples in the book of Genesis where there was me first heart showing up in relationships. But I want to deal tonight, if the Lord will help me, on the struggles of the me first. The struggles. What do you mean the struggles? Well, in our text, we have three different individuals. And I'm going to try to get these really quick because I've got another point or two I'd like to deal with tonight, if we can, before the sun comes up. Amen. No, I can't last that long. But anyway, first of all, the struggles. And as we read these, now it's meditating on it today. Well, one last thing that we're losing in our churches is meditation. Amen. I mean, just letting God, just get in there with your mind and just let God speak to you out of that verse and out of those verses. And I began to think, Lord, there was nothing wrong with any one of these three men. I mean, the first one voluntarily said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Doesn't seem to be nothing wrong with that. The second one, his only issue was, my daddy's dead and I'm going to go bury him. Anything wrong with that? The third one was willing to follow the Lord, but then he comes up and says, all I want to do is, I want to go back to my house and I've got some family there that I just want to bid farewell to. And I got to think about that coming down the road today, Brother Shaw, I thought. Lord, there wasn't nothing wrong with neither one of them attitudes. Just on the surface. One was just wanting to follow the Lord and said, I'll go where you want to. And the other one said, Lord, I want to go where I'll follow you, but I just need to bury my daddy first. The other one said, I want to follow you, but I just want to say farewell to those at my house. And I thought, I was praying about that. I said, Lord, what's the deal with that? I said, Lord, there's more there than meets the eye. And here's what the Lord spoke to me, and I wrote it coming down the road. Jesus is dealing with extremes to teach the highest levels of spirituality. In other words, he's saying, if it ever come down to it, to where it was follow me or bury your daddy, follow me or go back and say farewell. Now those are extremes. I don't know of anybody that's had to not bury their daddy to follow the Lord. But he went to the extreme. Jesus went to the ultimate extreme to teach a spiritual level. That is, if it ever come to that, God is saying, put me first. If it ever come to where you had to make a decision between the two, he said, choose me over your daddy and choose me over those at your house. But anyway, I looked at that. And by the way, disciples are followers of Jesus. And we will struggle with some issues in our life as we serve the Lord and follow the Lord. What was the three issues with these three men? The first one I find in verse 57 and 58, and I'm telling you, I've got more preaching on these to do than I can do tonight, but I don't want to get locked up on these. I've got some more things I want to deal with tonight. Here's the first one. The first one said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's what he said, did he not? Well, this one, here's the struggle. A struggle comes between Jesus and your purpose for following him. Now, where do you get that at? Jesus' response to this first one. It looked good when he said, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. That looked good, did it not? That sounds spiritual, did it not? But Jesus knew his meaning and his motive. That's why the next verse comes in, and Jesus said to him, look at this, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. My question is, why did Jesus respond to that man that way? When he just got through saying, Lord, I'll go with you whithersoever you go, thou goest. Why did Jesus come in right on the tail end of that and say, I just want you to know, foxes have it better than I do at times. Birds of the air have it better than I do at times. I'll tell you why. Jesus knew the motive of that man. Jesus knew why he was saying, I will follow thee And I believe it's this. I believe he was struggling with the purpose of following the Lord. What do you mean? I believe he had a desire to follow the Lord for personal gain. I believe he had a desire to follow the Lord for personal promotions. I believe that he thought, and by the way, you go back to chapter number 9, and you can see where Jesus is performing miracles and miracles and miracles. And this man probably thought, praise God, I'm going to follow him. And if I follow him, there's going to be popularity in my life. If I follow him, there's going to be prosperity in my life. If I follow him, everything's going to be fine and wonderful. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I just want you to know, if you follow me, it's probably going to cost you something. I want you to know that if you follow me, there'll be times the foxes have it better than you and the birds of the air have it better than you. Where is that prosperity gospel that we hear about on the television, my friend? It is not found in the Word of God. It is not found in the Scripture. Jesus Christ, you can't live any more perfect than Jesus Christ. He was perfection personified. He was God manifest in the flesh. I want to tell you what he said, that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. One time it come to Brother Frankie that he needed to pay some taxes. And guess what? He had to send Peter out and fishing and catch a fish with a piece of silver in his mouth. Probably fell out of somebody that hadn't been tithing. Stayed out of church and went fishing. Fell out of their pocket, amen. Well, anyway, it wound up in the fish's mouth, caught it, and paid the taxes with it. Amen. He didn't even have money to do that. Are you listening? Sure, that's right. But anyway, the first one, he had to struggle with the purpose of discipleship. If you're not careful, you can get out of focus with that. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Isn't that a good question? Why am I doing what I'm doing? If you're not careful, a little me first might creep in there. You can do good things, but with the wrong motive. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, if you're not careful, even though you're doing a good thing like this one, he said, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a good thing. But God knew his motive. It was not for the glory of Christ. It was not to follow Christ so he could be his Lord and his Master. Jesus saw within him a me first heart. And that's why he came in and addressed him the way that he did. The second man, and I'd like to preach on that more. Maybe we'll come back to it another time later on. But the second man, he struggled with a second thing. The first one struggled with the purpose of discipleship or the purpose of following the Lord. Why am I following the Lord? Why am I going to church? Amen? And by the way, let's mention this. Revival has never come in days of prosperity. We're fixing, I'm afraid, in America, Bashaw, I'm afraid we're fixing to get a touch from God in the pocketbook of America. Are you listening? You say, oh! No, don't go oh! Like that unless your God is called in Matthew 6, the God of Mammon. If you're not serving Mammon, is that your God? Mammon is money. Man, when a person loses their job and they said to their family, a wife and three children, I'm going to kill myself. That person is not serving with a God first heart. That person has built his life upon his personal economy and now it's shaken. Now it's the foundation of it is cracked and falling apart. And guess what he's talking about with a wife and three children? He's talking suicide. Is that about ignorant? People lose money in the stock market, they kill themselves, jump off of bridges and everything else. That's stupid. That revealed a me first heart. Amen. I'm telling you folks, if we're going to face 2009 and only God knows what we're going to face. Amen. For the first time in my short 48 years of being alive. Amen. We've got leadership now that's very qualified to turn this country against Israel. And I believe it'll happen. And we know prophetically from the Word of God that all nations are going to turn against Israel, including ours. Are you listening? It's going to happen. Hey, better get in while the getting's good. Our departure is at hand. But I want to tell you, this man, this second man, he struggled with the priority of following. The first one struggled with the purpose. And that'll be something you can struggle with at times, even as a believer. Why am I going to church? Why am I reading my Bible? Why am I praying? If you're not careful, there'll be some me first stuff creep in there. I'm doing it for advancement. I'm doing it for recognition. Amen. Amen. The second man, he struggled with the priority. He said to Jesus, the Lord said to him, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first. Suffer me first. That simply means permit me, give me leave to go and bury my father. The priority. You say, preacher, that's a priority. My father's dead and I'm to bury my father. That's a priority. Not when you go to the ultimate extreme with it, when it comes down to following the Lord or doing that. Now don't ever think that Jesus is against you burying your daddy. He's not that. You know, the Bible, he talks too much about honoring your father and mother and all that. He talks way too much of that for you to be disrespectful. Amen. While they're living or while they're dead. Say amen right there. But he's gone. I said that. He's went to the extreme with his illustration to show us, my friend, the high level of spirituality that he's expecting out of us and that he desires out of us. You say, preacher, I can't go to that level. Not in the flesh you can't. Not on your own you can't. But I'll tell you, if we'll submit to the Holy Ghost of God who produces in us a God-first heart, crucifies the me-first heart, guess what? Guess what will happen? The Spirit of God can take you to levels of spirituality that you never thought possible. But most people never want that. Amen. Well, anyway, he's struggling with the priority of discipleship. Third man. The third man, in verse 61 says, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Family, friends, who knows? Probably both. This man is struggling in a third area. The first man struggled with the purpose of following the Lord. The second man struggled with the priority of following the Lord. The third man struggled with the progress of following the Lord. How do we know that? Because of what Jesus said to him. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. Jesus said, the reason I'm against this is that you're going to have to go back to do something. God don't want us to go back. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He said, I don't have a problem with you saying bye to mama or daddy or friends. I don't have a problem with that. He said, the issue that I'm dealing with, the spiritual principle that I'm trying to draw out is that if you're going to do that, you're going to have to leave where you're at, which is at that point of stepping out and following me. He said, you're going to have to leave that point and go back and do something, and then come back to pick that up again. What is he dealing with? He's dealing with the progress. God wants us to be advancing. God wants us to be going forward. God, amen, I'm talking about struggles. Brother, there's going to be a struggle. Listen, I wouldn't be lying to tell anybody that if you get saved, your struggles will be over. This is a common report. Preacher, the more I try to do right, the more difficulties I experience. Anybody ever say that? Anybody feel that way? Huh? Anybody ever thought that besides me? Huh? Seem like the more I try to do right, seem like the more choices I make that's in the right direction, seem like the more difficulties come, the more hardships come. Amen? Yeah. Oh, the devil's not going to turn loose quickly and easily. But I tell you, praise God. Listen, here's what happened. This is a danger. This is what will happen. If you're not careful, you'll start noticing advancement matched with adversity. Progress matched with problems. The more I go forward, the more I advance, the more adversities I have. The more I progress, the more problems I have. And the next thing you know, you'll get to weighing them out. Progress, problems. Advancement, adversity. And you'll start weighing them out. And you know what the devil will do? The devil will cause you to focus on the negative. The devil will cause you to look at the ground you're gaining. Look where you were. Look where you are. He will never tell you that. He'll say, look at the opposition. Look at your problems. Look at your pressures. Look at your difficulty. Look at what you're losing. And before you know it, you'll start focusing on that. And guess what? Instead of progressing, you'll be regressing. You'll start backing up. You'll start looking back. And I don't know about you, but I don't have anything to look back to. I spent 20 years lost. I got saved at 20 years old. I spent 20 years, my friend, unconverted, unregenerated, wicked heathen. What have I got to look back to? That life of sin did not satisfy me then. What makes me think it will satisfy me now? Oh, backwards. Go back to do something. That's not your answer. Don't ever think, preacher, I'll not go back. Preacher, count me in. I'll never go back. You better watch it. I've heard some similar tone of voice of that in some people in the New Testament. You ever heard of a man by the name of Peter? Peter said, Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll not forsake you. Count me in, Lord. You count me in. I'll be with you. I'll never deny you. And the Lord said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Oh, not me, Lord. That's pretty good, wasn't it? And the third time Peter denied the Lord, the rooster said, you've done it. You know what Peter did? Peter knew what he was guilty of. And he turned and looked at the Lord. And the Lord was looking at him. I've often wondered what kind of expression probably was on Jesus' face when Peter turned and looked at the Lord. It must have been pretty bad. It must have been pretty convicting. Because you know what Peter did? Peter wept bitterly. It broke his heart that he wasn't near as strong as he thought he was. He thought he was going to be this big, tall giant of a disciple, and I'm going to keep progressing, and I'm going to keep going forward. Next thing you know, he's following Jesus afar off and denying and even saying, cursing, saying, I don't even know the man. Let me ask you, I want to ask us something. When's the last time we was bothered over a lack of progress? Because if we're not going forward, there's only one other option. Hey, man, if we're not progressing, if we're not going forward, hey, there's only one direction, and that's backward. You say, "Preach, I might go back." Listen, I'm preaching to somebody right here. I may go back, preacher, but I'll never go back to where I was. Well, let me ask you something. I was thinking about this today. God gave me this drive down the road from the hospital. What direction is your past in? Is that not back? Is that not reverse? Is that not to find where you were and what you were? If you backtrack long enough, you'll be standing in your previous steps. I've had people tell me, "I'm not going back. I'm not going to go back." And they went back. I've had people tell me, "I'm not going to get out," and they got out. Right. Amen? Oh, I've heard this report. I mean, I've just heard it everywhere. Preacher, it's a long way. It's a short way out. A long way back. And they're not back yet. And let me just throw this out here. Oh, listen, God's dealing with us right here. God's speaking to us right here. I've been preaching, February the 2nd will be 28 years. January the 20th, I've been saved 20 years. 28 years. Let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of people walk off, turn out, leave it, and get out of church. But I could probably count, I don't even know if I'd have to have two hands to count the people that ever come back. And some of those I could count is right here in this room that did come back. That got out of the will of God, testifies to the fact. Got out of the will of God, and God brought you back, and you came back, and with determination stayed with the stuff. Thank God for you. But for the most part, if you ever get out, it's unlikely that you'll ever come back. You ought to be more afraid of reverse. You ought to be more afraid of reverse in your spiritual life than about anything that you can do.
Amen.
Well, I'm telling you, that's for somebody, maybe for all of us. You ought to be more afraid of reverse. Because you don't go back in your direction. Because if you go back, amen. I've had people to tell me, and I mean, I could call names, but I'm not going to. I've had people to tell me, "Preach, I'm not where I was. I'm not where I need to be. But preach, I'll never be back where I was at." And testified in my face, "Preacher, I not only went back to where I was at, I went beyond where I was at."
Amen.
You know why? You know why? Struggle. There was a struggle between me first and God first. God first, me first, me first, God first. And there was that tug of war and that fight and that struggle. And you got tired of the fight. You got tired of the struggle. And before long, you know what you did? You give up. You give in. You give out. You give up. You'll never lose if you don't give up. Don't give up. We're too close. We're too close to the house. Glory to God, that's for us, amen. We're too close to the house. I can almost see the lights of home. We're about ready to check out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I know if you look at CNN, ABS, CBS, what all them news channels, my friend, they get depressing and defeating. And I'll tell you, why don't you take and get your news from the good news? Listen, there's not a thing happening. God said, it's not going to happen. God said perilous days will come. He said that. Are you listening? When you see these things happening, He said, lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. Sinners don't need to see us, God's people. I'm talking about royalty. Amen. Children of the Most High God, they don't need to see us going around with the mully grubs and long faces acting like what the world's going on. That's the way they're acting. Amen. We belong to another kingdom. We're serving under another king. Amen. Hallelujah. And when they say, hey, have you not heard the news? Have you not heard the latest? You know what we ought to say? Hey, have you not read your Bible lately? Hey, Jesus said when these things are happening, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. We'll fool around that and have a good time. It's your world. Amen. Hey, man, I'm not discouraged. I could be, and by the way, can I just say this? Discouragement is a choice. Every time I've been discouraged, defeated, or depressed, or down, and I've been that many times, it's because I chose to focus on something. I chose to think defeated thoughts. I chose to concentrate on negativism. Amen. But those times, brother, that I felt an energy from the Spirit of God deep in my soul, and that would cause me, in spite of the valley, in spite of the giants, in spite of the mountains, say, hey, man, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Guess what? Altitude follows attitude. Altitude's how high you're flying. Attitude is what leads your altitude. Amen, glory. Let me move on. I don't want to. I enjoyed that. Felt a good touch on that. I'm glad we're in a church, praise God. Amen. Where God can talk to us. Thank God for teaching and thank God for preaching and God giving us something. But I like it too when God says, hey man, just get right over in there and just put her in park. Amen. And rev the engine. Amen. Let everybody know I'm in that point. I'm at that point. Sometimes God will get us in your lap. Sometimes God will get us where it's God just a minister to your heart and you don't need me to go on. I've been in services, Brother Stephen, where I was sitting there. Oh, my heart was parched. My heart was needy. And that man of God was hooked up. Or the choir was hooked up. And boy, I was just, like a sponge. Brother Jeremy, I just, amen. I was getting help, amen, from every direction. And the preacher quit or went on to the next point. And I felt my heart go, And I've only done this one time, Brother Mike. Once. I was getting so much help. Brother Ronnie Simpson was preaching at Crossroads Baptist Church in Gray, or Fall Branch. I was getting so much help. When he went to go on to the next point, I verbally spoke up and said, no, preacher, don't go on. He said, I wouldn't do that. Well, I did. Amen. I said, preacher, please don't go on. Dig that out some more. And of course, you know, Brother Simpson, he's a well of the knowledge and a well of information. And guess what? He got to digging deeper. And before long, we struck water. I'm telling you, we had a shouting out time. And it could be right along there in that what we've been preaching about for a few minutes. God's speaking to you. And you've got it in your heart, please. Lord, let them just keep preaching right in that hole. Keep shooting in that hole. Keep digging in that hole. We're going to hit water after a while. Thank God. Hallelujah. Whether we get done or not, it don't matter as long as we're in the river, as long as we're where God wants us to get, and God's speaking to us. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Struggling with the progress. Right here tonight, even. There might be some sitting here, preacher. I'm not doing much advancing. I'm not doing much progressing. I'm not going forward much. In fact, preacher, I believe I'm probably drifting backwards more than anything. You better treat that with the ultimate danger. I'd say it again, you ought to be more fearful of reverse. Amen. Amen. Conduct yourself spiritually to where you don't ever have to back up. You don't need reverse. Deal with it as you come to it. And you won't ever have to back up. Amen. Glory. Glory. Amen. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Amen. Y'all forgive me for having such a good time. Okay. I'm not going to get done. I'm going to say that again. Could I move? Y'all need me to move on? Who said no? Brother Matt said no. That figures. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Boy, God's good, isn't He? I don't know about you. Just wore out. Been sick as a dog this week. Weak as water. Here God's just dumping it on us. Hey, man. You know what He was saying? What He's saying? Hey, man. I know you need help. You may not have come to RBT tonight. Maybe expected much. But here I am, God is saying. I've done met with you again. I've done showed up in the house one more time. Amen. Reach out and touch Him and receive from Him. There's help for you. You don't have to leave the way that you came. There's help for you. Whoa, glory to God, amen. Struggles. Anybody struggling tonight? Anybody struggling? I've got some more notes on that, but I'm not going to preach them, but I will say this. God is using those three men right there, those three different scenarios, to say that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're struggling with, here's the truth that He's driving home. Jesus said, I am greater than that. Follow me. If you're not following for the right reasons, you're following Him. Think about the first one. You're following Him for the wrong purpose. You're following Him for gain of some sort. Jesus is saying, I'm greater than that gain. I'm bigger than that gain. Why would you want to serve me and follow me for something tangible or material or financial when you've got me? The second man struggling with priority. Jesus said, even though you're dealing with grievance of a daddy that's dead, God said, I want you to know I am greater than your grievance. I'm greater than what's going on in your life. I'm greater. Glory to God, amen. No matter what you got going on in your life, God's greater. Oh, that's good news. I needed to hear that myself. God's greater than your valley. God's greater than your giant. God's greater. God is greater than your problems. Hey, amen. God's greater than the dilemma that's on our horizon. God's greater than whatever will happen after January the 20th. Amen. God is greater. Boy, I wish I knew that song. I'd light in on it. Amen. God is bigger. But anyway, let me deal with this quickly. There is the stripping or the stopping of the me first. When you're being controlled, or I am, and I'm not going to preach on all that, I'm just going to mention them. Listen, can you give me just a few minutes? When you're dealing with, living with, the me first heart, here's some things that's going to be stripped from you. Pleasure, spiritual pleasure. No enjoyment in the things of God. Me first will never enjoy the things of God. Watch out for this one. When the me first gets in, spiritual boredom will follow. Why? The first thing to go from a me first heart is spiritual pleasure. Pleasing God and God pleasing me. A second thing will go from a me first heart is joy. I've never seen a me first person that's just me first, have any of the joy of God in their life. Have you? No. Sadness comes in. Madness comes in. Joy's gone. No peace. Me first will strip peace from your heart. And you're troubled about everything. And you're fearful and on edge. Anybody get it like that? Anybody ever get on edge? Short fused? Come on. Amen. I'll ask your children. I'll know in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but anyway, I ain't going to say more on that. But and no peace. Here's something else will go. And it's evident in our churches. A me first heart will not worship. You will never bow and worship God when you have a me first attitude. Worship, Jesus will never be worshipped by a me first. No fellowship with God. That'll be stripped from your life. Not only no fellowship with God, but you won't have no fellowship with other saints that have a God-first heart. You'll just kind of be detached. Kind of be unhooked. And then here's the last thing I was going to deal with. And this, I'm telling you, was a message all in itself. Was the solutions to the me first. And I'm not going to preach on them. I'm about done. Preached out already, but I thought about, you know, I preached a good while this morning about Jacob. How Jacob came in the world holding the heel of Esau. Always out to get him. That changed. That me first attitude and heart that Jacob was living after changed. Genesis 32. When he crossed, was it the river Jabbok? And all of a sudden, and guess who was after him? Esau. Esau was after him out for revenge. The roles kind of reversed. And all of a sudden, Jacob had an encounter. He got in a wrestling match. Guess who with? The angel of the Lord, which is an Old Testament Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Jesus stepped in on that me first heart and said, Jacob, you need a few adjustments. I need to adjust on you just a little bit. And I don't know what kind of holes he put him in. Amen. But I guarantee you, he was being turned every which way but loose. And he saw that he was going to lose. And you know what Jacob did? Instead of Jacob fighting and resisting, and you know, stand up here, Brother Jacob. I know I can whip you, but I ain't going to tonight. Amen. instead of Jacob, you know, trying to get loose and just resisting, and you know, that's what that me first heart does. It's always trying to get loose and don't want to be under control. Wants to be in control. And after a while, that angel, which was Jesus, wore him down. Yeah. Instead of fighting, he went to clinging. And finally, he looked at that angel that was whipping him. Whipping that me first heart. Whipping that me first attitude. And finally looked at him and said, I ain't turning you loose till you bless me. And you know what? You can sit down now before I hurt you. Amen. And you know what? Hey! You know what happened? That angel subdued him and touched his thigh. And his sinew, the muscle shrank. And the longest and the last day that he lived, he walked with a limp. And somebody said, hey, Jacob, what happened to you? What happened to you, Jacob? It's back there when Jesus used force to deal with my me first heart.
Amen.
Hey, Jacob, let's go out on the town. Well, I used to when I had the me first heart, I'd went with you boys, but now I've been subdued. If I went with you, I couldn't dance, boys. If I went with you, I couldn't have a good time. I'd feel like a square peg in a round hole because I've been subdued. I've been conquered. I'm no longer a Jacob. By the way, you didn't hear about my name change? Jacob means supplanter and trickster and heel catcher. And I was always out to get somebody and promote myself and take advantage of somebody. But my name now is Israel. God, not only He halted me, but He said He changed my name from Jacob, supplanter, trickster, conniver, heel catcher. He said, now He calls me Israel, a prince with God. Glory to God. You say, preacher, what is the solution to the me first? A good old-fashioned wrestling match with Jesus. Some of you need to get in a good wrestling match with Jesus so He can whip you. You're not going to whip Him, I promise you. Some of you need to get in a good wrestling match with Jesus. And you will fight until you wear out. And your strength, which is your problem, your strength is abated and gone. And you have to go from fighting to holding and clinging. And say, Lord, touch me. I'm not going to let You go till You bless me. God knows how to deal with your me first heart and mine. Sometimes He has to use force. Sometimes He has to use just a good old-fashioned whipping. And you know what? God dealt with it, but Jacob bore the evidence of it the rest of his life. Amen. Can I give you this quickly? I know y'all been very kind, patient. Here's a way of solution. A solution of me first is not only through pressure, but also number two, realize your purchase. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. You know what's a good solution to the me first attitude and heart? Realize who's bought you and who you belong to. Think about the price. Think about the price that was used to purchase. Number two, realize not only receive the pressure as Jacob, realize the purchase, but also realize your purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I read those verses already. The latter part of that verse says, for you are bought with a price, therefore, here's your purpose, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God said, I want the outward and I want the inward, both, body, spirit. I want them both involved in doing this one thing, glorifying God. Listen, I know y'all are wore out, and I am too. But a me first heart will never glorify God. Me first heart will glorify self and bring attention to me. Amen. Receive the pressure, realize the purchase, and recognize your purpose, but also realize your pursuit. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. There's a lot of other things we could say. Follow Christ's example is another. Jesus was not a me-first Savior. He didn't leave heaven's portals and come down here for Himself. Everything Jesus did, from start to the present, even in the future, He did it for others. He's not a me-first Savior. Had He been, He'd have never helped us. And if we're a me-first people, we will never do anything for Him. Realize, dear friend, that the me first heart will not serve the Lord. A me first heart, listen, a me first heart will not only not serve the Lord, never be blessed of God, never be used of God, will not be in the likeness of Jesus. And Jesus said, follow me. All of this me first I've been trying to preach in the text, Luke 9, is in the context of following Jesus. You know the solution here. If you don't remember nothing else, here I want you to get this. Lord, just give to me. Remember this. The solution to the me first heart is to follow Jesus. Just be a follower of Jesus. And the word follower means an imitator. One that's trying to be like another. Trying to copy. Trying to be like Jesus. You talking about something that'll do away with the me first heart? Trying to be like Jesus. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.